Hey guys, Jason Agnew here. So, a weird thing happened as I was doing a quality check on the show. Believe it or not, I actually do that. I noticed in my podcatcher that although there are thousands of you that download and listen to this show, and by all means, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We don't have that many ratings on iTunes. I can't believe I'm just getting to this now. So I'm just wondering, since you're listening, it's the free version of the show. We got a bunch of great stuff coming up. Drop us a rating. It would be lovely if I act as the awkward Uber driver here and ask you to give us 5 stars. That'd be cool, because it just helps the show get out to more ears. So go into your podcatcher, go into iTunes, and rate this show. And then after you do that, enjoy this show, as you do each and every week. Really appreciate you being a part of Sunday night's main event. So here we go.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Are CM Punk and Daniel Bryan all elite? Is Braun Strowman headed back to WWE? And has Vince McMahon decided to destroy his own creation? These questions and a whole lot more we hope to answer tonight on Sunday night's main event. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very busy week in the world of wrestling. My name is Jason Agnew, and we are coming at you once again across the iHeartRadio and TSN radio networks right across Canada, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Visit them online at greatlakesbeer.ca. One of the most fun things to do as a fan of professional wrestling is to speculate on what is going to happen next. We do so for matches. We do so for storylines. But when those storylines turn to real-life contract talks, it proves to be absolutely fascinating. And that is where we find ourselves this week and right here tonight. It's our focus, and I'm going to spend an extended amount of time chatting with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter about the potential of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk heading to AEW. Then, as Karrion Kross made his Raw debut this past week and unbelievably lost to Jeff Hardy in 101 seconds, I'm going to welcome on our host of the NXT Talk podcast, Boris Aguilar, to discuss how it looks like Vince McMahon has turned on his own brand. And NXT is taking a nosedive. We've also got another fun edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, but first thing first, let's lay out all the details that we know with the week in wrestling news.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, obviously, the two top stories of the week involve the possible signing of Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. So here's what we know. While no one has been able to confirm either signing, in last week's Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer revealed that Bryan Danielson and AEW have been talking for months. Danielson is considering WWE, AEW, and New Japan as his next destination. New Japan is still the big X factor, according to Meltzer, and part of the reason WWE president Nick Khan was trying to get a working relationship going. In regards to CM Punk, Meltzer stated that a WWE source tells him that internally, the belief is that Punk has signed with AEW. Adding more fuel to that fire, first of all, the band Living Color just decided to follow AEW on Twitter. They, of course, provide Punk's traditional cult of personality theme. And also, during an interview on Wrestling Observer Radio, AEW World Champion Kenny Omega spoke on the possibility of working with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in the near future. He said, "It's cool for me to think I'm going to get in the ring with them, possibly, because they were so prominent in WWE. For me, as exciting as the wrestling part is, the ability to tell a story is more exciting for me." Naturally, these will be two of the big topics in our next segment with Uncle Dave. Okay, now a more is more story, which means we're going to talk some WWE. WWE will be kicking off 2022 with its first ever New Year's Day pay-per-view. It was announced on Friday that the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, will host a WWE pay-per-view on Saturday, January the 1st, 2022. Tickets will go on sale at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, August 27th, because that's how I wanted to start my year, friends. Yes, we'll be covering it here. Yep, we'll probably be doing an after party. All of that should be happening as we follow along with this company that just doesn't know when to stop. Along with the Samoa Joe Karrion Kross Championship match, the Sunday, August 27 NXT TakeOver show, which is now confirmed, by the way, the day after SummerSlam, it'll also consist of Walter defending his NXT UK Championship against Ilya Dragunov. The match was originally set to headline this past week's NXT UK episode, but it had been postponed due to Walter suffering an injury to his left hand. All right, Joe wins, Walter wins, standoff at the end of the show. You've made my SummerSlam weekend. As the WWE talent pool continues to shift, two dark matches were held before Friday's SmackDown. Indy Hartwell took on Aaliyah, while Austin Theory went one-on-one with Odyssey Jones. Theory also recently worked a tag team match with Harry Smith. Xia Li appears to be okay following her NXT Women's title match on this week's episode of the show. Fightful Select reported that she appeared okay backstage following the bout. Li appeared to be injured towards the end of the bout with Raquel Gonzalez, landing on her following a springboard senton splash. The match was then stopped as WWE medical personnel tended to her. After a couple of minutes, the match resumed. Gonzalez quickly went to the finish and pinned Li to retain the title. AEW Women's Champion Britt Baker suffered a broken right wrist during her successful victory on Wednesday's Fighter Fest edition of Dynamite. Baker defeated Nyla Rose to retain the title in her first title defense while suffering the injury during a Death Valley driver spot. According to her, she's taken no time off. So I am guessing she is about to give Bob Orton and Iron Mike Sharp a run for their money. AEW also announced on Thursday that they have officially signed Thunder Rosa to a contract. Thunder Rosa had been working with AEW since last fall. She entered the company, and at the time, as NWA Women's Champion, she was under NWA contract. Jake Roberts has also agreed to a new two-year deal. This past week's AEW Dynamite averaged 1.148 million viewers on TNT. That's up 12% from last week. It's the third highest audience for the show since it debuted in October of 2019. It was an absolutely excellent show, in my opinion, and I'll be chatting with Boris Aguilar about it later in tonight's show. NXT also did pretty well, actually. 709,000 viewers. It's the highest viewership for NXT since May the 4th. In New Japan news, Kota Ibushi has been diagnosed with aspiration pneumonia and will miss the next three New Japan Pro Wrestling dates. New Japan also went out of their way to declare this has nothing to do with COVID-19. CJ Perry, formerly known as Lana in WWE, of course, will be part of the cast for VH1's revival of the reality series The Surreal Life. In addition to Perry being on the show, the rest of the cast consists of Dennis Rodman, August Alsina, Stormy Daniels, Tamar Braxton, Frankie Muniz, yeah, that's Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle, Kim Cole, and Manny MUA. Woo! That is, that's Tune Out TV is what that is. Patrick Clark, a.k.a. the former NXT Velveteen Dream, almost made his return to the ring. A New Jersey-based wrestling group called SWF initially announced that Dream would be on their September 11th Home Sweet Home event in Toms River, New Jersey. It was set to be his first appearance since being released in May and his first match since December 2020. But within 2 hours, the indie group's owner tweeted the following. Tonight, we announced Velveteen Dream would be appearing at our Home Sweet Home event. I believe any man can be slandered and have been through other situations in my life unrelated, but untrue. After careful consideration, Dream has been removed. And that was all he said in the tweet. Kira Hogan announced on her OnlyFans page that she is done with Impact Wrestling. To round things out, a couple NWA and Impact spoilers for you, though. So if you don't want to hear them, fast forward about 30 seconds now. Deonna Purrazzo will defend the Impact Knockouts Championship on the NWA Empower pay-per-view against Melina. That's the show Mickie James is exec producing. And on a future episode of Impact, there will be a battle royal to reveal Kenny Omega's next opponent for the Impact World Championship. The winner? Brian Myers. Yep, that's the former Curt Hawkins. The guy who set the Raw losing streak is now challenging for the Impact heavyweight title. Okay. Hey, that wraps up the week in wrestling news, but let's be honest, we're going to talk about Punk and Danielson a lot more as I welcome Dave Meltzer next. So stick with us, a break, and back with Meltzer right here on Sunday night's main event.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
All right, a deeper dive into the news this week, and perhaps one of the most interesting weeks of news for people speculating has happened with a couple names out there. So we welcome on Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave, anything you want to chat about this week?
Man, I don't know. Such slow news week. I had nothing to write about.
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, my goodness. This is fascinating for all wrestling fans out there. Let's start with CM Punk. Okay. This has been someone that obviously we all know. It's been said over and over. Tony Khan wanted CM Punk to be a part of AEW when it started. He's someone who does harbor some ill will towards WWE. There was a lawsuit put in place. Where do we stand right now?
I mean, I can't say that these guys have signed because I don't know that they've signed, because that's going to be the thing that everyone keeps from me.
Sure.
What I do know is that nobody's denied anything, and if there was nothing to these stories, they'd be denied to me, like literally the day they came out, and nobody denied anything to me. So I know that there's smoke to the fire. I also know that there's moves that Tony has made that lead me to believe that if he has not signed CM Punk, that he is 99% confident he's got him when it comes to CM Punk. I mean, just certain things that I've heard that he's trying to do and stuff. So I believe he's very confident he's got Punk. And it's not a shock to me. But, you know, again, they talked in 2019, and it went nowhere. And there were bitter feelings from that period. But, you know, it's wrestling, and they did say never, you know, like never, it's never going to happen. But, you know, never in wrestling is maybe like, you know, 2 years, and we're 2 years past. And I think that maybe Punk has an itch, and wants to do it. And I think he sees this as a place where maybe he could have fun, because everybody that works there talks about how much fun they have. And so, you know, there's with Punk, there's a lot of questions. With Bryan Danielson, it's a completely different story, you know, with Bryan Danielson, but with Punk. But there's, look, it's a risk in a sense, but there's great rewards because he's very marketable. It's been years. When he first comes back, I mean, like, the, you know, we know when he first comes back in Chicago, they're going in Chicago for three shows in September. And one would expect that he would be on those shows if he's coming back. If he's coming back, that's where you debut him. I mean, it's going to be one of the you know, like the Hulk Hogan in Montreal and Toronto and things. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of those.
Yeah.
So it's like those are memorable moments in wrestling. So, I mean, it's going to start off on an unbelievable foot. Now, like 6 years, not, I mean, 6 months, 9 months down the road, a year down the road, what happens? There's questions. You know, I mean, Punk's going to have to wrestle at a certain level. Because that's a very demanding fan base. He's going to have to talk at a certain level, which I'm pretty confident he can do that.
Oh, yeah.
And even the wrestling, I think he's smart enough to do it. But there's, you know, personality conflicts and these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Punk can be an unhappy guy. But, you know, again, you know, a lot of guys, and Moxley's the one that pops into my head. When he was in WWE, all I would hear is, you can't make this guy happy. You can't make this guy happy. And it's like, you know, now that I know him and now that he's in AEW, he seems like a pretty darn happy guy. So it's like, I think that a lot of it is just atmosphere. I mean, Punk loved wrestling for years and years and years. And then he hated wrestling, you know, but then there's like a denominator there. So maybe it's not the wrestling that he hated. Maybe he just needed to get out of that place which is funny because, you know, it was that place that made him a real giant star. I mean, he was a great independent star before that, but it was WWE who did. And maybe in his mind, he deserved a little better. And I know his fan base thinks he did, and it didn't happen, and we all know why. And now, you know, he's older. His story is an interesting story. And it's, again, the other one is like, how much does he help? I mean, we know that he can help. But I mean, we're in a really interesting period right now, you know, because AEW has grown a lot, and like that New York and all their attendance figures, other than a week from Wednesday in Jacksonville. But there's reasons for that. But, you know, their ticket sales are good everywhere. Their television ratings last week was the third highest in the history of the show. They're doing really, really well. And you add Punk to this. Does it make a big difference? Makes a big difference. You know, I mean, they're on the verge of something, you know. So, I mean, put this way, I think that it's great for them to have it, but I'm not 100% sure, nor should anybody be, how this works out and how much it means. But it's absolutely, from their standpoint, it's a risk that you've got to make. And from his standpoint, if he ever wants to do anything in wrestling, this is the right time to jump in.
It's also interesting with both of these individuals, and I want to dive a little bit more into Dan and Bryan in a sec, is they can both come over as complete packages. I mean, it's got to be Bryan Danielson, but it is going to be CM Punk, complete with their themes if they want them, Flight of the Valkyrie and Cult of Personality. Like, it's not like they have to change anything. They can walk on essentially with the exact same character that everybody knows them as, even the common fans.
Yep. I would expect that Danielson will make some changes, mm-hmm. minor maybe, but I expect he'll make some. And Punk probably makes some too. But overall, your point is right. It's like they don't have to go in there and completely change their name. You know, I mean, Danielson does have to change his name to Bryan Danielson, but that's cool. Everyone knows that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and look, Dean Ambrose changed to Moxley and didn't miss a beat, and he's a bigger star as Moxley than ever was Dean Ambrose. So, you know, it's like, it's not even going to be an issue. So Danielson, to me, is a less of a risk because it's like the only, you know, like he could have gotten hurt in WWE. He came back. He may have gotten like minor injury here and there, but overall, he's been pretty healthy in WWE, and you know, that was like a concern. As far as his wrestling goes, we already know where his wrestling's at. It's at a very, very high level right now. And he'll be working with guys at a very, very high level. If he comes in, he's going to have some of the best matches in the world. We already know that going in. You know, you put him in there with Kenny Omega or Adam Page or Jericho or the Young Bucks. I mean, it's like it's 100% they're going to have incredible matches. His promos are going to be great. We already know that. We know that the crowd's going to like him. You know, this is a big one, I think, for AEW. I mean, like, Punk's a big one, but Punk's a big one with questions. With Danielson, it's a big one, and I don't see any questions. You could not give me a drawback, other than, of course, maybe he gets hurt. But aside from that, it's like, you know, it's like he's a complete package that they don't even teach their audience to love. Their audience already loves him going in. I would tell you right now, with him, the first thing I do is do that Omega match. I don't wait for that one. I go right to it because that's, that's the American version of Omega Jericho for in Japan, you know, in the sense that that's a match that will swell their audience. It will do their biggest buy rate, I believe, to date. And, or if they put it on TV, it'll do their biggest rating to date, I think. So, I mean, to me, it's just like, you go with it. I mean, you can go with it later as well. I mean, I would, you know, if I was booking it, you know, I would probably do three matches over the course of a year spaced out. I mean, certainly not one, but the first one I would jump into, and then, you know, you could sideways. And it's like, there's so many matches with the talent that they have that, you know, he could go through however many years his contract is. Let's say it's 3 years. He could go through 3 years without any staleness. There's going to be one guy after another, from the older guys to the younger guys to the guys on their way up, to tag teams, just, you know, whatever. There's just an endless stuff when it comes to Bryan Danielson.
Do you suspect, because I personally do, that Arthur Ashe Stadium is the destination for Daniel Bryan? That seems like a very special show for AEW.
Yeah, I could certainly, you know, I mean, that's the rumor. The rumor's Arthur Ashe Stadium. I don't know that, and we won't, you know, I don't know how they're going to, again, I don't know the process of how either of these guys will be introduced. And again, I don't know that it's 100%, but again, I've got to suspect that they're both coming in. I mean, strongly. Mm-hmm. So, Arthur Ashe, yeah, and that's the rumor, and the rumor makes sense. You know, and everything. I mean, the problem with the Arthur Ashe Stadium problem is that as soon as it's announced, they're going to sell every ticket. And, you know, it will be the biggest crowd, and it already is the biggest crowd in the history of the company, and probably will be the biggest television show in the history of the company, no matter what, because, you know, they're going to peak. I mean, they've got to put big championship matches on that show just mm-hmm. because of that and then that introduction. But it's going to be... It's, to me, that's going to be like the biggest television show that they've done.
Okay, let's talk about a couple other perhaps returns here, more so on the WWE side. Braun Strowman's name has been tossed about recently. I've heard it spinning about a return to WWE. Is this just to kind of get rid of him, knock the contract down, and potential of re-signing?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, could be a way to get him for less money. Could be they just changed their mind. Could be, like, think about it. Also, you know, because of the Mark Henry connection, you know that there's been, and again, I don't know what AEW thinks of him, but there is a connection and there are people who want to bring him in. And I think that from a WWE standpoint, if they believe, and I'm sure they do, that Danielson and Punk are going, I don't know that they would want Strowman going, because again, Strowman would be eligible, whatever the 90 days is, not all that long from now. And it's like, do you want that, another debut like that? And maybe, like, the WWE, you know, Strowman was a guy. I mean, he was their champion not all that long ago. And he was super over not all that long ago. And when you change companies like Miro, it's a fresh coat of paint. They could bury you forever. But once you walk onto that stage, you're a fresh commodities. Like with Danielson, you know, Danielson lost clean to Roman Reigns, but when he walks on AEW stage, no one's thinking, oh, Roman Reigns beat him. It's like they're just thinking of the new matches. Strowman's a more difficult fit. I don't even know if I was in that position, I would want him.
Nope.
But from a WWE standpoint, I don't know that that's a risk that they would want to take right now.
Yeah, he's That the core fan base for them, and granted, they're trying to break outside of that, but there was always a love for Punk and Bryan on the indies. Strowman comes from a very different world. He's a WWE creation, and I don't know. I wouldn't, if I'm Tony Khan, I wouldn't necessarily be jumping on that one at all, really. Plus,
But you know, maybe, you know, there's also the idea that he could be heel to those fans.
Yeah.
That would be effective, and I think it would, you know. But it's like I don't know, and again I don't know what, and again there's also what's the budget. I mean, AEW, mm-hmm. as far as, it's going to cost them a lot of money to get Danielson and Punk for sure, and it's like you don't want to be WCW where you all of a sudden have all these contractual commitments and lose ridiculous amounts of money either.
Yeah.
You know, you want to run a solvent business, so there's a line that you want to draw. So yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's Tony's decision, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. I never discussed Strowman with him once, so I don't know. And I that's one of those things where, well, I mean, if it's the right person, I suppose I could discuss it. But that wasn't a situation where I would have. I just never brought it up, so I don't know what his thoughts are. And but from WWE standpoint, I think right now this week, WWE's does not want to lose another big name debuting on that TV in the next like 60 days, because that after those two.
Roman Reigns turning down John Cena on SmackDown, but says yes to Finn Balor. Are they going to blow out Finn Balor in a TV program before SummerSlam?
It's what I think.
Hmm.
Because Roman Reigns certainly shouldn't. Well, so here's the thing. If they do a non-title match with Roman Reigns and Finn Balor, and John Cena costs Roman Reigns that match, okay, then Balor's not hurt, it's non-title, and then Roman Reigns gets mad and challenges John Cena, and then you get that big match for the championship. So I could see that. And I could also see just as easily Roman Reigns beating Finn Balor as another one of his victims like everybody else. Right. So I would say one of those two. I like the one where Cena costs him the match more, because it protects Finn Balor. But, you know, again, they're not very good at protecting baby faces these days.
To say the least. I had something come into my email from another source, The Rock and Survivor Series, and that appearance. If that were to happen to me, that says it's going to be Texas, and that's when we're seeing Reigns and Rock in 2022.
Well, I can tell you that right now, you know, whether it's one of two matches, whether it's Reigns and Rock single or Reigns and an Uso against Rock and an Uso, that is absolutely the direction that they're going for WrestleMania. I mean, it could change. Rock could get this giant movie thing and all that, but that is absolutely, you know, the direction. And the direction in 2023 would be Lesnar, most
right.
likely. So I think the next two WrestleManias are main events are pretty much, I don't want to say there's nothing locked in stone this far out, but I think that there's a very good idea the next two WrestleMania main events.
Okay, let's talk about some not-so-good stuff. Keith Lee return and loses on Raw. Blew my mind, but really shouldn't at this point in WWE. Did Keith do something that people don't like?
I don't know as far as that. As far as, I didn't mind him losing if it was done in the right way, but it wasn't. So yes, I thought that was, you know, they got that big pop. He's from North Texas. You know, you could just do it differently, and they didn't. But yeah, it you know, Keith Lee comes back, and they pretty much told everyone that he's a mid-card guy that you shouldn't really be getting your hopes up for. And you know, when somebody new is in, man, I just don't like the idea of somebody new who has potential and cutting off their legs that quick. Let them, you know, and then with Keith, you know, they never used him right. I mean, even when he first came in, it was like they tried to teach him to work like a big man. And it's like, that's not him. I mean, and then people started talking about, oh, he's really not that good. And it's like, man, I'm sorry. I saw this guy live over and over and over and over again. And nobody is perfect, but he's really good. And he never looked really good on WWE television.
Survivor Series. He had a great showing.
He did. Yeah, he got over like crazy.
Yes. And that was it.
And, you know. But you know, he was new and fresh and was, yep. and everything like that. But yeah, this one, as far as the debut went, this one hurt him, and it should, and they should, they, you never would, should try to hurt someone in their debut.
Well, not only did they
or
hurt
return, whatever it is,
yeah, not only did they hurt him on Monday, Dave, but just to close here, Karrion Kross and the entire NXT brand. It took 101 seconds for Jeff Hardy to beat Karrion Kross. Or is it 1,001? But something like that.
I mean, look, it was horrible booking. There's no, I mean, they may turn it around and Karrion Kross may end up being a big star in the main roster. It's not the end of him. But when you are building up a takeover with Karrion Kross against Samoa Joe in the Battle of the Unstoppables, and you beat him in a minute and a half on Raw, right during the build of this big, you know, the Cross Joe thing on NXT.
It's hot.
It's the hottest thing they've had in a long time. And to, you know, crap on that for whatever reason. I mean, I could only imagine when you think of the weirdness that would lead someone to make that decision. And it is weirdness. That's all there is to it. You know, I don't know what, whatever it is. I don't know what, because it's like it makes no sense. So you know that something weird. But, you know, like, yes, Karrion Kross absolutely should have beaten Jeff Hardy. There's not an argument in the world that I would listen to that would suggest otherwise, but they did it. Especially, like, again, if it was the other way around, where it was Karrion Kross going to the main roster and he had to lose the NXT title, you know, yeah, that'd be one thing. If Karrion Kross and Jeff Hardy was going to be the main event on TakeOver, and that was a weird way of going to get there, that's another thing. But it's Joe. And if it's Joe, this guy should not have been losing to anyone before Joe.
Dave, a pleasure to chat with you each week. Obviously very busy, very exciting with all of these rumors. I hope a bunch of them come true. Of course, this will probably take up a lot of the Observer this week, I'm guessing.
It took up a lot this week, and I don't know what new we're going to know, other than every day without a denial is another day of confirmation. That's how I would view it if I was a fan, because people are going like, is this story true? Is this story true? And it's like, right now I'm going with the ideas, and until I hear a denial from people at the top, I'm buying it, especially with Danielson, because, and I don't know how, like, again, I've talked to different people, I've done it on my show and everything, but for Danielson, I believe very strongly that the company that got him was going to be the company with the New Japan relationship, and WWE tried to get it and didn't. And I think that the Danielson story, I think, you know, and we did talk about this months ago when I first wrote about it, but I believe that the Nick Khan not getting the deal with New Japan is probably the most under, you know, not the most, but among the most. It's the second most underplayed news story of the year. The most underplayed was that settlement on the Saudi lawsuit.
Right.
Those are the two stories that, for whatever reason, to me, they were both gigantic, but it you know, in mainstream wrestling media, they, you know, people didn't really look at them for whatever reason, not sexy enough or whatever. But I mean, the Nick Khan New Japan thing, I mean, that's a game changer if he makes that deal. And he didn't make that deal, and he's a deal maker. And it's WWE, the most powerful company in the world. And that's a big one, especially now because of there's another thing. New Japan is working with Impact. New Japan's working with AEW. I mean, New Japan is weak right now because of COVID. But, you know, New Japan, you know, again, if we ever get through this, I mean, New Japan, you know, will rebound and be what it was. And, you know, they're an incredible wrestling company. And to work, not only that, to work with American companies, it's very, very beneficial to the industry, and it's beneficial to New Japan as well. But if it's a WWE New Japan alliance, that's so strong. If it's an AEW New Japan alliance, that's really strong too. But, you know, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I really think that, like, all of these things, you know, come the fall, come next year, It's going to be the most interesting period of the wrestling business since 1998. I really believe that.
Yep, I completely agree with you. And listen, also, let me highlight this on your website for podcast-wise. You have an interview up there, fresh interview with Kenny Omega as well, in which he comments on the potential of working with Punk and Daniel Bryan. So that is one that people should check out at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, we've gone over time. Love chatting with you. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, have a great week.
All right. I mean, this keeps up. I definitely will. Hey, we got to take a break. We're way over time here with Melt, but it was good hearing from him. Coming up next, we're going to do a little bit of CM Punk trivia, and then Boris Aguilar from NXT Talk will join me to round out tonight's show. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Yeah, running down
a dream. If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, win.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Of course, one of our two players today will be getting a t-shirt from our sponsor, BallerGear.ca. They're the official provider of all the Sunday Night's Main Event merch. So check them out at BallerGear.ca. On the line, we actually have a first-timer playing the game today. Tommy's on the line from Pittsburgh. Tommy, you know, there aren't that many first-timers anymore. I'm happy to have you aboard. What inspired you to jump on into the fight?
I drive a lot for work. I'll be listening to the show, and 9 times out of 10, I'll be listening, and I'll just have the answers ready, and I'll win the game. So hopefully this week will happen.
All right. So he's really throwing it down there. Your opponent today, Michael from the UK. Michael, let's hope you're that 1 out of 10 times that Tommy doesn't know all the answers. How do you feel about that, Michael?
Yeah, I'll take that, to be honest. Yeah.
Michael, you've played a couple times. Have you won yet?
Yes, for one of my last time, actually. Ooh. Where we had the hideous audio issues.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Tommy versus Michael. We're getting back into this. Tommy, it's your first time, therefore you will be player one. Gentlemen, I couldn't resist with the rumor mill a-hopping. Your topic today, CM Punk. Let's see what you know about him. Tommy, first question is for you. What is CM Punk's real name?
Bill Brooks.
Easy as that. Very good. All right, Michael, we're going back in history for this next question. When CM Punk tagged with his former real-life friend, Colt Cabana, in Ring of Honor, what was their tag team name?
As I did say to you off-air, Jason, I wasn't watching wrestling at this point in time, so I'm going to have to go total guess the Chicago Boys.
You know, they went from boys to be Saints, and they are from the Second City. It was the Second City Saints. That was their name. All right, Tommy, over to you for this question. CM Punk won the ROH World title once. It was on July 18th, 2005. Who did he defeat for it?
It was Austin Aries.
Wow, it was Austin Aries. Going way back in time for that. Very good. Michael, we're going to jump to WWE, sorta. We're going to jump to ECW in WWE. Punk is a one-time ECW champion. It was, of course, in the WWE-ECW era. What current WWE performer did he defeat for the championship? So I know you didn't watch back then, but I'm going to help you along. It is still a current roster member.
Kofi Kingston? No idea.
You know what? That's a very good guess, because he would have been around back then. It was actually the current John Morrison, then known as Johnny Nitro. All right, back to you, okay. Tommy, for this one. At WrestleMania 24, Punk won the Money in the Bank match. What current WWE performer would he successfully cash in on?
Edge, correct?
Edge is correct. Tommy, it's like you're dinging yourself, Tommy. Before I could even say correct, you're saying correct.
It was more of a question.
Well, you got it. You are correct. Very good. Michael, a follow-up to that, because Punk would win Money in the Bank again at WrestleMania 25. He would again cash in successfully. It would again be against a current WWE performer. Who was it, Michael?
I guess The Miz.
It is not The Miz. It was Jeff Hardy. And just like that, you can't catch up, Michael. I'm sorry, we went a little bit before your time. It's a 3-0 victory. Tommy, I feel as though you're a threat to be reckoned with, and I hope you stick around at this level to play the tournament, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sticking around.
All right, good stuff. You could be a challenger. Michael, you won last time. You lost this time. You at least have an even record for your last two times. Thank you for playing, my friend.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks. And yeah, Tommy, definitely great work there. And yeah, everyone else needs to watch out, I think.
There you go.
Thanks for playing.
All right, Tommy's got his t-shirt from ballergear.ca. If you want to play, as I said, I'm scheduling out the fall now. Summer is booked up, but if you want to jump in, sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio to the Turnbuckle Trivia level, or upgrade to the Turnbuckle Trivia level. I'll get you in here, and you don't want to play Tommy, is what I'm thinking. Jay from North Bay, Bob from Scranton, watch out. I mean, it was only three questions, but he was very confident. We got to take a break. When we come back, the host of NXT Talk will join me. Boris Aguilar is coming up next as we continue on with Sunday night's main event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Final segment here, and considering what happened on Raw this past week, I felt as though I needed to have this gentleman on to co-host the rest of the show with me. I mean, we saw Karrion Kross lose to Jeff Hardy in 101 seconds, and I believe my pal Boris Aguilar had a stopwatch out, because that's what you named your episode of NXT Talk this week, 101 seconds. Boris, welcome to a Sunday show. I can't believe that this happened on Monday night.
I don't think anyone can believe this happened on Monday night. 101 seconds, that's how long it can take for someone's career to change.
Yeah, and okay, so what's your take on why this was done? I mean, Karrion Kross is someone who, right from the get-go, when he showed up in NXT, huge entrance, you can tell that this is a character that is not going to spend all that much time on NXT. He's 100% built for the main roster, whether it's Raw, whether it's SmackDown, there's a big entrance involved, it's going to be great at pay-per-views, WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. So why do you bring him up, and why do you job to Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, it makes zero sense. So, you know, the skeptic in me, the pessimist in me, is Vince hates everything NXT, and he just wanted to prove a point to this new NXT guy. And that's kind of what it seemed like, right? Like, why else would you butcher the entrance, not have Scarlett, make him lose to Jeff Hardy, who's been jobbing to everyone on the roster the past few weeks? So it makes zero sense in that sense. But, you know, if we take a look at a storyline point of view, I think the one point that people need to remember is that Jeff Hardy cheated. He put his legs on the ropes to get the win. So it wasn't a clean win per se. But it still doesn't, and now it's a wait and see position. But it still makes zero sense to me. If this is going to be a longer storyline, why didn't Karrion Kross just beat up Jeff Hardy rather than getting on the mic and threatening him? Why didn't he just go and explode on him right after the match?
So if Jeff Hardy uses the ropes here, which, yeah, he did for the pin, but Jeff Hardy is the baby face, which is kind of strange in itself. But sometimes fans will rally behind the baby face to cheat in order to win, to defeat the heel. Or, I mean, there's no chance that Karrion Kross is showing up on Raw and supposed to be a baby face, right? He's pretty clear-cut heel, is he not?
You would think so, right? But like even on NXT, the like during the Johnny Gargano program, during the when he kind of went through the entire roster, he was jumping back and forth. He was a kind of face-ish when he faced Legado. He was kind of face-ish when he faced Johnny Gargano. So, you know, right now, you never know exactly what Karrion Kross is. But I think at the core of it, you're correct. He is a heel. He should be a heel. I don't know how he can't be a heel.
Okay, let me try to get inside the mind of Vince McMahon, okay, and run this. And that's a crazy place to be. But let me run this hypothetical scenario by you here and get your take on it. I haven't mentioned this yet in any of the shows. So, the last two guys that Vince has pushed to the moon have been, well, I guess Bobby Lashley's in there. But, you know, you have your John Cena's and your Roman Reigns, right? WWE creations. And Vince gets behind them and pushes them. And what do the fans do? They push back. They don't want these baby faces. They don't want these characters because they win all the time. Do you think in any stretch of the imagination, Vince is like, well, these people don't like who I'm giving them. So you know what? I'm going to make them lose and I'm going to make the fans angry and then they're going to want to cheer this guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them, honestly. I thought of that scenario as well at one point, and I'm like, you know, they're just using the ultimate reverse psychology on us this time, and I have a feeling that it might work for some people, especially those in the know, those who know who NXT is, right? So it and already know Karrion Kross. So it makes sense in the sense of, okay, I don't, you know, I keep putting people forward, they resist, so you know what? I'm going to keep someone back. I'm going to teach someone a lesson while I'm at it. And the fans are going to, you know, get behind this person. So in this crazy Vince McMahon wackadoodle way, it does make sense.
Which is pure insanity, because I tell you that, taking it from my perspective, you know, Karrion Kross lost, it didn't make me like him any better. And it didn't make me even think, oh, this guy's got a raw deal. It just kind of made me say, oh, WTF, like, well, Why am I watching the NXT brand? And this is something that I really want to talk to you about. I mean, you cover NXT every week, and people make fun of Raw, Mark and I, that we have to cover Raw because NXT has been the golden brand. But whoosh, talk about an unnecessary rebuild being put in place for NXT and downgrading everything that's happening. I was really stoked about Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross. This took a big chunk of my excitement away.
100%. You know, and that's the other part of this, right? Is you have the NXT brand. Karrion Kross wore the belt on Raw. Oftentimes when guys show up to the main roster and they're champs, they don't have the belt. They might mention that they're champ, but they won't actually physically hold the belt. So for me, it was interesting that he had the belt and he kind of lost in 101 seconds. So now we have to take a look at this in terms of NXT. This completely destroys NXT. This is someone that for the past 15 months has completely run through the roster. At the last takeover, he defeated the top four other stars of NXT. And now he loses in 101 seconds. Like, that just makes the entire NXT roster look like dum-dums. It makes them look weak. It makes them look horrible. Like, why do I want to watch this show? It is like the brand underneath Raw and SmackDown now. So essentially, not only are you hurting Karrion Kross and you know the potential that he could have had, you're also destroying any NXT like hopefuls and anyone. Any other fans who want to watch NXTs, why am I going to watch it? So it just makes zero sense in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I completely agree, of course, and was, I mean, not distraught, that's a strong word, but just did not understand. Okay, so let's flip over to a show that I can't tell you how much I adore AEW. You know, No, I have to watch Raw. I have to watch all these shows. And when I watch Raw, I fast forward through a bunch. I can't wait to get this thing done. I found myself rewinding AEW because I didn't want to miss anything. I'm so excited and intrigued by nearly everything on this show. If it has a belt, if it doesn't have a belt, it doesn't seem to matter. I'm invested in the majority of the characters. Everything seems to have a place. And we don't have all that much time on the terrestrial radio show here to talk about this. We'll continue on in the Sunday Night's Main Event Extra for podcast listeners, but I wanted to talk with you about the Jericho MJF storyline. Sean Spears loses. It's a chair match. It makes total sense. Next up, Nick Gage. I made this prediction that it was going to happen. Two things here. Number one, I'm very interested in this, and I completely see MJF doing this in storyline, and he's had the Dark Side of the Ring special on him. But is this too much hardcore wrestling, Boris?
You know, on the surface of it, yes. I think so, especially someone like Nick Gage. Like, I don't know if how many people watched last night's match with Matt Cardona, but it was insane. You know, if it's even a percentage of that violence, I'm going to be very interested to see what TNT has to say.
And we just saw this past week, we had Lance Archer and Jon Moxley. Listen, now this was a good match, but we're going to see another one next week with Gage and Jericho. To me, these need to be spaced out.
Yeah, for sure. I agree 100%. So, you know, one thing that we criticize WWE about is overdoing gimmick matches. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tough on AEW. I love AEW. A lot of people think I don't like them, but I really do. I just criticize them the same way that I criticize anyone else. So I believe that they're overdoing gimmick matches, especially on free TV. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense that they're constantly going to these gimmick matches, especially these hardcore matches that you know there's going to be bleeders and whatnot. Like it's kind of pushing the needle a little too much on the hardcore side.
So that is true. I think that's the case. But looking at this Jericho storyline, we've got Spears out of the way. We're going to see Gage, and then following Gage, there's going to be three more matches. I am curious as to your predictions for these three more matches, because Jericho does have to win them all. But honestly, this storyline is, there's so much that can be done here. So what do you think as far as predictions go for where MJF goes next and who is being brought around for Jericho to take on?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I'm thinking that Jeff Cobb is going to be one of them. And the storyline reason for that is, you know, Jericho called on him in the past, so now it's kind of returning the favor. And it's like, you know, you made me lose, so now I'm going to beat you up type thing. I also believe that it's going to be from someone from Jericho's past.
Yes.
I'm trying to think, who could it be? And I just can't figure it out. I really cannot figure out who someone from Jericho's past is going to be. And then I think the last one is going to be someone from the inner circle again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing eye to eye with you there. I mean, I think that there's two ways to go with Jericho's past. My first choice is Lance Storm, his first tag team partner. And then, you know, you bring back Storm, put him in the ring with Jericho. They have the match, and after the match, Jericho wins, and then Storm ends up punching out MJF for the big punch and for the big pop at the end of the match. The other one I could possibly see, with the relationship with New Japan that is happening now, and the fact that Jericho is the Painmaker this week, and odds are, I mean, he has to go over Gage, so I would say someone that has beaten the Painmaker should be the next person to come out. And Jericho lost the IWGP Intercontinental title to Naito.
Yeah, that one. Naito is a personal favorite of mine. I just love everything about him as a wrestler. He seems like a really cool guy also. And I would love to see this. Like, I would pop. I would buy all the merch, all the t-shirts. but no, I agree. Like, I think it would be someone like that as well. That's a very cool one. And I think enough hardcore AEW viewers would know who he is, obviously, right? So it makes sense in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, I went extensively into how I think AEW is appealing to their fans, much like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is. And that is, if you don't understand what's going on the TV, then look it up and figure it out. And they don't talk down to their viewers. And I think integrating someone like Naito, and telling that story is something AEW would do. Plus, it continues to push on this New Japan relationship with Tony Khan was bragging about because Nick Khan couldn't get it done. So I foresee something like that happening. Listen, Boris, okay, we're out of radio time right now, but listen, there is so much to talk about this week. We're not going to leave you hanging. If you're listening on terrestrial radio right now and want more, we do podcasts every day, and this very podcast is going to have another chunk, at least another half hour of Boris and I going through the week that was and talking about where they are headed in AEW, WWE, and all of that good stuff. Find us at patreon.com/SNME Radio. $1 a week gets you a podcast a day, all covering the world of pro wrestling and reviewing all the shows that are out there. So with that in mind, we're saying goodbye to the terrestrial radio listeners this week and the freebie podcast listeners. Back next week with a lot more Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Would be lovely if you drop us a rating in your podcatcher, iTunes, etc. And along with that, if you want a commercial free version of this show that is also extended and it comes out early, it's like Sunday afternoon's main event, then you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio. We may be on the radio, however, this is how the show is actually supported. It's all through you guys and the Patreon. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Thank you.